Thank you, Sarah. Our next set of news stories starts with an escape boat for an old mill. A couple's dream home restoration was nearly derailed due to officials worrying that they could be at risk of harm. But plans to restore a derelict windmill in the Broads and build an off-grid home next door, all in a high-risk flood zone, have now been approved, thanks to some ingenious plans at a novel escape route. Jill and Adam Singer want to bring Toft Monk's mill on South Norfolk's Haddiscoe Island back into working order. They also plan to live in an adjacent eco-home, which will be powered by solar energy. But their ambitions faced opposition from the Environment Agency, who complained that the dwelling would be located on land at the highest flood risk level and therefore would pose a risk to safety. At a Broads Authority planning committee meeting this week, the couple defended their scheme. The Singers intend to build the two-bedroom, single-story home on stilts to protect it against flooding. They also hope to build a raised walkway to the windmill to provide a place of refuge in the event of a flood. This was given support by officers at the Broads Authority, who praised the innovative design and welcomed the fact that the Grade 2 listed wind pump will be restored as part of the plans. But there were still concerns that a rapid flood event could leave them in danger. However, the Singers said they intended to keep a small dinghy tied up to their home so that in the event of a flood, they would at least have this method of escape. Harry Blaithwaite, chairman of the Broads Authority, approved of this means of escape, saying, "It's rather like Noah." Members voted to approve the scheme, calling it an exceptional case, highlighting the heritage benefits it would bring and deciding the flood evacuation plans by the couple would keep them safe.
With some of the UK's most expansive countryside and a rich history, Norfolk is a haven for detectorists from across the country. A study analysing government data found that between 2012 and 2023, Norfolk was the UK's top county for finding buried treasure. Over the 10 years, the treasure was reported to be found 1,201 times in Norfolk alone, 400 more than the second place Suffolk. East Anglia dominates the list, with Essex coming in third place with 709 finds. The region's flat and rural landscape make it ideal for treasure hunters, partly explaining the East's dominance in the field. The county's rich history dates back to the Iceni tribe, ancient Britons who lived in the area before the Roman conquests 2,000 years ago. Recent finds include a fragment of a gold Bronze Age penangular ring from North Norfolk and a gilded silver medieval pilgrim's badge from Topcroft near Long Stratton. Both finds were donated to the Norwich Castle Museum. Several recent television shows have featured East Anglia as a treasure-hunting hotspot, including Digging for Treasure and The Detectorists.
Plans for the 2024 Norwich Beer Festival have been revealed as the event undergoes a huge shake-up. With the event's historic home in the Halls closed until spring 2025 for a major revamp, this autumn's event has taken to pubs around the city. Organised by the Norwich and District Camera, Campaign for Real Ale, this year's festival will feature an exciting lineup of events and activities spread across the city from October the 24th to November the 3rd. Several pubs will be hosting mini beer festivals as part of the event, including the Beehive and the Brickmakers, as well as a keg and cask event at the Redwell Tap Room. A highlight of the festival will be the World Beer Pop-Up at Castle Social. Inspired by the World Bar from previous events, the bar will hold more than 300 different bottled beers from countries all around the world. The festival guide with information on all the events will be available from pubs and venues in early October. The beloved 2024 souvenir glass will be available to buy in pubs and at the World Beer Pop-Up.
20 people have been saved at Greater Anglia Station so far this year as staff received more training in suicide prevention. So far this year, staff have saved the lives of people through interventions where they have helped vulnerable or distressed people at stations across the network. Over the past 3 years, 141 members of Greater Anglia staff have completed Samaritan's Managing Suicidal Contacts course, which is a one-day course tailored specifically to people working within the rail industry. The course focuses on the benefits of a short conversation with someone who may be experiencing suicidal feelings and the techniques required to sensitively support that person and help begin their recovery. The aim is to continue to increase the number of staff who have completed the course. Georgia Payne, Greater Anglia's Safeguarding and Community Safety Manager, said, "We are doing everything we can to keep people safe while using our rail network. More staff than ever before have completed the course. For every life lost, 6 are saved, and we are very proud of our colleagues who have carried out interventions. The Lifesaver Award is a nice scheme to show our appreciation for what may be the hardest part of the job, and it has been well received so far."
City folk and wildlife which inhabits waterways could be swimming in last night's leftovers as data reveals high levels of sewage is making its way into the River Wensum. The River's Trust's updated sewage map, released by the Environment Agency, has revealed the alarmingly high level of untreated sewage which discharges into the waterways of Norwich. The situation is concerning for those who frequent the waterways. Norfolk County Councillor for Thorpe St Andrew, Ian Mackey, said, "The rivers in and around Norwich have always been incredibly important and have the potential to be so much more. Pollution is a real concern and some raw sewage is still going straight into our rivers." Norfolk wildlife expert Liam Smith detailed the impact on the area's rich biodiversity. Pollutants can affect aquatic life in two major ways, drastically reducing oxygen levels, leading to mass fish kills, and promoting the dominant growth of certain plants and algae to the detriment of other more delicate species. Mr. Smith said, "Sadly, although some parts of the city rivers are still full of life, numbers of some species do seem to have declined."
A senior city councillor is furious after incriminating documents were removed from a mess of a fly-tipping scene. Councillor Alex Catt, deputy leader of Norwich Green Party, claims a lack of resources and proper enforcement process has prevented a large fine from being issued over the dumped waste. He said, after finding a large number of household items and rubbish dumped at Long Row in the NR3 area of the city, "I noticed multiple letters with the name and address of the probable offender. After contacting officers at Norwich City Council, I was told not to report the items for removal, to leave all evidence with the rubbish and let a council officer come out to investigate. However, when the officer was able to come and investigate, many of the items had been removed and the letters were missing, likely preventing fines from being given out." According to Mr. Catt, there are more than 6,000 reported instances of fly tipping in Norwich and its boroughs each year and is only getting worse. "The city continues to look like a real mess in places and we are calling on the council to clamp down on tippers," he added. "It needs to change its processes in these circumstances to ensure that vital evidence is not lost. Green councillors have called for fly tipping to be taken more seriously in recent years, suggesting more CCTV is installed in tipping hotspots, as well as an increase in maximum penalties. Last month, people living in the Nolan Grove Mar Pit reported fly tipping incidents had skyrocketed after CCTV cameras were removed from that part of the estate. The cameras overlooked a row of communal bins, and the area was left an absolute mess after their removal."